Gates closed. Old Pat.
Del Mar direct on Double X 1090.
And they are off. Hawks spun the catch. Have they come off the turn? Curling giving his all. A length and a half behind. Too close to call.
Now with the ultimate hour of horse racing, here's Toby Terrell and Gary Mandela.
Welcome to Del Mar Direct, the home of inside information for Southern California racing fans. The only radio show hosted by experts who spend every morning on the backstretch. Thank you for joining us this morning, as I hope you will every Saturday during the Del Mar meeting. My co-host for this odyssey is going to be simply California's finest private clocker, Toby Terrell. Toby, jump in here. Let's get this thing started.
Yeah, we will do that. I'm happy to have everybody on board, including my, I couldn't have found a better co-host anywhere in the world than who I've found here in Gary Mandela. I am Toby Terrell. This is the show where you're going to know. I mean, Gary outlined it there. We got this Del Mar racetrack covered from the backside to the front side. You know what that means, folks. There's nothing left except for what's right out there on the racetrack. And I'll tell you what, we are ready. We are ready to rock and roll here at Del Mar. 50,000 watts worth here on Double X 1090, no matter where you're listening, from the border down at Baja border all the way up to Santa Barbara and Ventura and somewhere in between. I want to give a very special shout-out right out of the box here to my good friend, a fixture here at Del Mar. He's a trainer named Barry Abrams. I coined him Big Barry, my good friend. He's a recovering fast up there in L.A., and he'll be down here. We don't want him down here until he's fully recovered and ready, though. Barry, your horses look great at Del Mar, and we're ready for you to show back up here when you can. And on that note, Gary, we have a show that is loaded and overloaded, and that's what we're going to do here each and every Saturday on Double X.
No, we sure are, and we want to hear from the listeners as well. Two ways to do that. We'd like you to email us at delmardirect@gmail.com, or you can simply call in to Double X 1090 and reach us by phone. That number is 877-792-1090. That being done, let's set the table, get some topics out there, and let you know what we're going to be discussing today. The big event, obviously, this week is going to be opening day, Wednesday, Del Mar getting started as it traditionally does. We're going to have Joe Harper on at about 9:30 to talk about that. Then we have some segments that are going to be weekly things to follow for you. We're going to have owner Billy Koch, the president of Little Red Feather Racing. He's going to do what we're going to call Ownership 101 every day with us. He'll be on about 9:45. And he wants to hear from you as well. Send Billy an email at billy@littleredfeather.com. He's going to pick a few of those emails out, maybe address them during his segment with us towards the end of the show, and there'll be a prize involved for the one that he likes best. On top of that, we're going to have a Breeders' Cup report each and every week with Larry Zapp. We're going to bring him in, go over the big stakes that happen every Saturday and what their Breeders' Cup implications are going to be. We're also going to cover New York racing with Toby's good friend Don Harris that helps him with his clocking. He's going to help analyze whatever the big race is in New York and some other tidbits about what's going on there. And we're going to have a What's New segment every week. This week we're going to deal with agent Derek Lawson as he has a new rider for us to follow here during the Del Mar meet. The other subject that we're going to get into today, Toby, is right up your alley, as well as your father's. At Surfside, they have an NHC qualifier handicapping tournament going on both today and tomorrow, and I'm sure some people sitting at home are going to want to hear about this as well in case they want to get involved.
I'll say they will, Gary, and I think the best way to get them to want to perk up and know what's going on at Surfside Saturday, folks, Saturday and tomorrow, Sunday. How about if we begin with what you're playing for? This year, if you qualify at Surfside in this qualifier, you will be going to Las Vegas to Treasure Island to try to win a $2 million gross pot. $2 million. You don't find that in a lot of places in sports for us, the fans, and the players to go after. Make your plans, change your plans, get to Surfside today and get in this tournament. It's simple. You don't even need to know anything. Just show up. All you got to do is pick numbers if you like, but just try to qualify for the big $2 billion pot. And Surfside, by the way, Gary, is one of our main sponsors here on Del Mar Direct. Surfside, right adjacent to the racetrack. In case you need directions, you don't, because just come to Del Mar. Everybody knows where that is here. And Surfside is right there.
Right next to the arena where they do the bull riding. about the middle of August, they'll have that. If you've never been to Surfside before, great place. They take good care of their customers. Terrific place to have this tournament. And with that, I would like to bring your father on, Terry Terrell. Are you there to join us?
Here I am, guys. How are you doing?
Great to have you. Give us a little bit of the rundown on what this tournament is going to expect. What kind of strategy is going to be involved in this tournament?
The tournament is based on strictly the Hollywood Park races today, unlike the DRF big tournament where you have races from around the country. And today we'll concentrate on just Hollywood Park, and you make eight mythical $2 win, $2 place bets Saturday and Sunday, and the one with the highest total, of course, wins, and you get a cash prize. And the top three go to the DRF and earn a spot. You have to earn a spot into the DRF tournament. You can't buy your way into the DRF.
And for those that aren't real familiar with the Vegas tournament that you're talking about, explain some of the details of that Daily Racing Form-sponsored event there and what the big goal is at the end of the year.
Well, the best way to really get the information on it is to go to NHC.com or NTRA.com, and it's a tournament co-sponsored by the DRF, and the tournaments are held from coast to coast at almost every major racetrack. There's online tournaments with that you can qualify for, and there's tournaments even up in Ontario or Hastings in Columbia or in Canada. So the participants for the tournament will come from all around the country, and it's limited to 250. I think this year they raised it to 275 with $1 million guaranteed first prize.
Well, with that being said, the races at Hollywood Park, obviously a big part of this. Let's get Toby back involved and let you guys handicap a few of these races. Three big stakes races on the card at Hollywood Park today. Why don't we start with the smallest one first, the Landaloo Stakes. How are you guys going to approach this in reference to your tournament?
Well, there's in horse racing, sometimes you can keep it simple and just look at your racing form or whatever you want to look at and just see who the fastest horse is and just try to keep it easy. And, you know, one thing that's fun about trying to play the fastest horse is you feel like you're winning for at least most of the race. You get that subtle letdown, and you still get excitement when your horse is out there on the lead. The fastest horse in this race, I should say the fastest filly, since this is a stake race here for fillies, the Landaloo, the fastest filly is number one, We Be Gone. I think this filly is very well named, too, for the Jan Mace and Samantha Siegel blue and green colors. I want to give a shout-out to Samantha Siegel, very good customer, client of mine, loyal supporter, and I always said on radio shows in the past to kind of give her a little extra rooting power for her to win, because when she wins, I win. And I'm hoping that number one, We Be Gone, will hustle out of there with Martin Pedroza in the saddle. But, Dad, who else do we maybe need to use in this fourth race at Hollywood Park?
In the fourth race at Hollywood, I'm going to go with the rail horse, We Be Gone. I'm with you there, Toby, and I'm also going to take a little shot with the Melody Conlon-trained Mighty Caroline, who's had a good race and won and will be testing for class today, but I think that she could be the one that offers the strongest opposition.
Let's go to the older mares and the A Gleam Stakes, going 7 furlongs on the synthetic course there at Hollywood Park. Looks like a wide-open race to me, Toby, an interesting invader from outside of California shipping in for this one, going to run under Bruce Jackson's name. Did you think this race was as difficult as I did?
I actually do, Gary. I do double duty here on Saturdays. I do a radio show from Las Vegas every Saturday morning, and so I'm very well prepped for this radio show. And one of the guests on that show is going to actually try to take some big bombers in this race, thinking, I'll tell you what, everybody out there who wants to get in this tournament, this is a race where a big long shot can win, so don't be afraid to go after a big long shot. I'm going after the biggest horse in the race. Mildly Offensive for Carla Gaines. I'll guarantee if we put all these horses on the scale, Mildly Offensive is the heavyweight. In fact, she might get disqualified. She's too heavy maybe and big to compete against these horses, but is she the fastest horse? I hope so. Mildly Offensive for me in the stake race. Dad, maybe a long shot for the players out there.
That'll be interesting, Toby. I'm going to take a shot with Tanda on the fact that I believe that trainer Dan Hendricks has pointed for the Del Mar meet and is just going to crank this filly up and get ready for the last half of the year, maybe shoot towards the Breeders' Cup if possible. So I'm going to use a Tanda. I think Shotgun Gulch, the one you just alluded to with Bruce Jackson training, Mike Smith riding, you can't knock 7 wins for 18 starts and $500,000 in the bank almost, and having faced who might be the top mayor in the country right now, Hop de Grace, who runs today at Delaware. So Shotgun Gulch and Tanda, I'm going to give an edge to Tanda today.
No, I agree with you on both those last two picks, Terry. Shotgun Gulch was fifth to Sassy Image and Hilda's Passion last time out. Both those fillies would be even money in this spot. But there's one more stake to talk about at Hollywood Park this afternoon. The sixth race, the American Oaks, $250,000 grade one for three-year-old fillies going a mile and a quarter on the turf course. Toby, maybe a standout here in Busy Caroline, the form she's been in recently?
Well, she might look that way on paper, but when it comes to looks, very special horse in this race named Campina. You know, we have a lot new here at Del Mar this racing season, and there's a lot of anticipation out here in the air. We're up in the press box right now doing this show live over XX 1090, and I'll tell you what, I think Campina can give that horse you're referring to a big-time run because Campina's got an explosive kick. And when she fires it, she fires it. And I think maybe she can pull it off.
What do you think, Terry? Is that simple?
He said everything that needed to be said. Campina is the one to beat. And in this game of handicapping and writing that I've done for so long, I take the personal aspect into consideration quite a bit. And trainer Jeff Bondi is primed and ready to really break loose. He was kind of dormant the last couple of years, settled some problems he had, and his stock, he's just, I think you're going to really see his stock take a turn, and his name will be coast to coast soon.
No, he's certainly having a career year. That's been much reported all throughout 2011. John Sheriff's got a couple fillies in here on the improve. He's always dangerous when he reaches up and takes a shot as well. So an interesting American Oaks out at Hollywood Park this afternoon. Those are the three feature races. Interesting maiden race in the second, Toby. Did you have any opinions in that race to help people that were going to qualify, maybe throw them a bone?
That's not the race that your father, your dad,
no, I
Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela, he doesn't have a horse in here, does he?
No. He does. But he does have a horse in there, but I do not expect you to say anything good about him.
I'll tell you what. You know, I learned one thing the right way a couple of days ago. I learned something I want to, I'm going to give everybody a hint out there. Don't let the smugness or the quiet, humble nature of Gary Mandela fool you. I learned very easy how to make money in the future. When he runs a horse and he's going to get a haircut the day before the race to look good in the picture,
nice.
Go to the window. Let's go to the window on your dad here on Whipstock, number four in the second race. All he's got is Rafael Bejarano in the saddle. Maybe he can get it done.
No, training well. Hopefully his pedigree won't necessitate him to go a little bit further than the 6.5 he'll get today, but we'll certainly keep our fingers crossed for him. Terry, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate the help. Good luck in the tournament today. And we will certainly be checking in with you throughout the meet.
Thanks, guys. Great to be on the show opening, and I hope to follow the rest of the meet.
You will indeed, Dad, and I just want to let everybody know out in California when it comes to public handicappers, I certainly have the breeding to be one of the best, but I'm filling big, big shoes with my grandfather, Bud Bedeker, and the famous Bedeker name of California horse racing. But they called Jack Karlick out here the dean of Southern California handicappers for years. He is retired, so I got to tell everybody out there, my dad, Terry Terrell, is the new dean of Southern California handicappers. So, Dad, don't let up and don't let us down.
Sounds good. If we can, maybe we should try and bring in Larry Zapp at this point and start our Breeders' Cup report. Larry, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Gary. Good morning to all, and I'm very excited about being on the program today and for the remainder of the Del Mar meet and beyond. And following Terry Terrell is definitely some good shoes to try to fill.
There are some very interesting races with Breeders' Cup implications scheduled all around the country this afternoon. You heard us talk about the races at Hollywood Park. Let's leave some of these other races to bring you in on and get us some insight, starting with the Virginia Derby, going a mile and a quarter on the turf at Colonial Downs, $600,000 on the line. A lot of people going to gravitate towards Tom Proctor's horse, Band, who's looked so impressive his last two starts. A couple other interesting horses in there, though, isn't there, Larry?
Yeah, there really is. Let's definitely start with the horse, Band. This horse has just been fabulous turning into his three-year-old season. He needed his first race off the layoff, and his last two, and everybody saw what he did on Kentucky Oaks Day in the American Turf. He just exploded, new running style for him with Garrett Gomez. And then last time in the Jefferson Cup, basically no pace in the race, and this guy's so versatile, and you usually know the sign of a top-quality horse when you see versatility, maybe except for Zenyatta with her one running style, but Ban laid close to a slow pace and kicked it in when it counted. So he's definitely the horse to beat here, Gary. The horse that ran second to him last time, and a lot of times people ignore that. They'll go, oh, well, you know what, there was no kind of pace in the race, and somebody had to run second. But I was very impressed with the 11-horse Benergy last time, and the reason I think he's a live piece in here is twofold. Second to Ban, he showed his quality, and the mile and a quarter distance. Just look at his pedigree, Gary. Tap it out of a Tisnow mare. You're just starting to see Tisnow mares produce, and I expect big things from them. And Benergy ran a very nice race. He had come off a maiden win that day, and a very nice race to Ban. Ban always had him. But I really think he was full of run in the lane, Benergy, and I think the added distance will help him. And then you look over to Doug O'Neill's horse, the 6-horse coming in from California, and when you have Donald Harris on, maybe ask him how 31st Street has looked, because he's been training in front of Donald at Hollywood Park. But once again, a pedigree play. Good journey out of a Sky Classic mare. I think the Sky Classic will carry him the mile and a quarter. And the one other horse I'm going to use in here is the 4-horse Street Game. New York bred in name only, but it's a son of Street Cry. And for the figure people, whether it's Ragazin, Byers, you name it, he scored a big number last time winning the Hill Prince. But it was on a yielding turf course in New York, but he controlled the pace. Street Cry, we know they can get a mile and a quarter. Zenyatta, one for sure, out of a Thunder Puddles mare. But they'll be running for the Flying Z Stables, who lost its owner very recently, and I think those round out contention for me. In a very contentious good betting race, the at Colonial Downs, the Virginia Derby, goes as race number 8.
Yeah, that's going to be an outstanding race to watch and to wager on. The next race I want to bring up with you, a terrific race to watch, not quite the deep field, talking about the Delaware Handicap, going a mile and a quarter for $750,000, grade 2. A really interesting matchup here between Hob de Grace and Blind Luck, who have seen each other before.
Yeah, they're becoming a serious rivalry. I mean, I grew up in New York around Affirmed and Alidar that raced against each other, I believe, 5 times as 2-year-olds, and then we all know about their Triple Crown. And I'm not comparing this rivalry to that, but, you know, for modern-day racing, we're seeing 2 high-quality mares who competed against each other a bunch last year, and obviously Blind Luck was the better 3-year-old filly, but when we jump to the 4-year-old campaign, and, you know, it's hard to say the one's better than the other, but especially since Blind Luck's coming off a grade 1 win at Hollywood Park, but they did run against each other already this year in the Azari. And one thing you noted in that race is that Hob de Grace has absolutely grown into that huge St. Liam frame of hers, and she's a new horse. I mean, she was a pretty good 3-year-old at the end of the year last year, but Gary, I mean, these 3 races this year, I mean, the last one, the Obey, the prep for this race was a mere workout. And I've actually been on my Twitter site, and you can find me at Larry Zappi for people who are on Twitter, and I posed the question this morning, and I might as well pose it to you, Gary. Is Hob de Grace as good as Zenyatta at the age of 4? Sure, they took different paths. One of them, Zenyatta, was only running her 4th race in the Apple Blossom, and Hob de Grace raced at 2 and 3. But it seems to me, talent-wise, that Hob de Grace is quickly catching up to that great race mare.
You know, it's an interesting question, to be honest with you, Larry, because she has already beaten Blind Luck early on at the age of 4. I'm not sure Zenyatta would have faced a filly as good as Blind Luck early in her 4-year-old campaign. She faced some very good fillies at the end of her 4-year-old campaign. But since you mentioned the name Zenyatta and Hob de Grace in the same sentence, Larry Jones has gone on record as saying he's going to manage this mare this year in a manner to which to build a case to make her horse of the year. Do you believe that's realistic? Is she that good?
I believe she is that good, and I'm comparing her to Zenyatta, so obviously I believe she's that good. And I think today we learn one thing for certain. Does she get the mile and a quarter? Same could be said for Blind Luck. And if either one of these really nice 4-year-old fillies shows up today and puts in a huge performance, not only would they be the leader, in my opinion, you know, you look at the handicap division and there's really no leader. Some people are going to say First Dude off his Hollywood Gold Cup. I mean, the other dude, Game on Dude, almost won the 2 big races in Southern California. But I really think whoever wins this race today is North American's leader at the halfway point for Horse of the Year. So I think they would have to step up and face the boys, whether it's the Jockey Club Gold Cup or the Breeders' Cup Classic. But I think we find out, can these two fillies get a mile and a quarter today?
Let me pose an interesting scenario to you. Bob DeGrace runs well through the year, but maybe gets beat once or twice. The handicap division continues to be that which horses keep beating each other, even though they keep finishing in the same top three. And you have kind of a chaos theory year. If Goldakova comes back to the United States and wins a fourth Breeders' Cup in a row, is there a legitimate case to make her Horse of the Year here?
Well, I'll tell you, we set a precedent last year by one race in North America making her Female Turf Horse of the Year. And I've argued many times with a lot of sharp people in this game, can a horse win an award in North America? People will say that everything counts, but let's face it, Gary, we don't look at Australia. We don't look at Japan. A lot of things don't count. I think Goldakova coming over and winning her fourth Breeders' Cup mile is a testament to her connections, keeping her at the top level, and her quality altogether. But for one race coming in and blowing away another American turf field, which we know as handicappers in these Breeders' Cup races, we always look for the turf horses, as Gio Ponti learned last week and also ran to Goldakova, beats him in a grade one man of war. Bottom line is, I'd have a hard time giving anybody the award for one race in the country, but if it is that kind of flip-floppy kind of a year, I don't expect personally Harvard DeGrace to lose at all this year to any filly. So it'll be very interesting just to see if that scenario plays out.
It'll be fascinating. I'll certainly be rooting for Larry Jones. Toby, why don't you jump in here? Help us out.
Well, this is great stuff, guys, and that's why what is it, Larry? I forget your Twitter address, but that's why you got thousands of followers, because you are keeping everybody on the pulse of not only thoroughbred horse racing, but many, many other things as well. So, but before you give that address out again, guys in the studio, we need a little bit of help here because we're going to shift from the press box here at Del Mar down to the live studio for XX, where we'll be doing this show each and every Saturday from the paddock. So Scotty or somebody at the studio, we just need some kind of a beep or something to tell us when to move down there, and when we get it, we'll move. Otherwise, we'll just stay here. I don't think you have a better seat in the house than up here, do you, Gary?
No, you do not, but I hear music in the background. I don't do a lot of radio. I do more television, but I think in any medium, that means it's time to get to a commercial break. That being...
Hi, Tom Baudette. Well, the 4th of July is behind us. The fireworks have all been worked, and the multi-prong weenie roaster is back in the bubble wrap, which means summer is half over. Better take a vacation while you still can and stay at Motel 6. Most locations have pools, and all of them have the lowest price of any national chain. So get out there, and remember, summer's not half empty, it's half full. I'm Tom Baudette for Motel 6 and Motel6.com, and we'll leave the light on for you.
This summer, the Miller Lite Guards are saving men from making the unmanly choice of drinking light beer with less taste. How? With great-tasting Miller Lite, taste points, and awesome summer discounts. So man up at tastepoints.com today. Open only to legal California residents 21 or older. Void where prohibited. Limited time promotional offer begins 5/11 and ends 7/31/11. Full terms and conditions at tastepoints.com. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Great beer, great responsibility.
Miller Lite Guards!
This week on the National Hour, the breathtaking landscape of Sonora. Take a picture and travel through the beautiful state of Sonora. Relive the decline of St. Charles and discover more about the Guaymas Port. Taste the delicious food from all over Sonora. Don't miss the extraordinary travel guide through Sonora. Join Charo Fernandez and Victor Manuel Espinosa. Listen this Sunday night at 10 to the Sonora Special on the National Hour. 74 years of transmitting the best of Mexico. Follow along on Facebook and Twitter. I confess that I am a man of faith and convictions in the spiritual matter. I profess the love for humanity. I've never had interest in money, but I also sustain that not everyone who has it, it's evil. And I am convinced for the well-being of all. First, the poor people. Convergence. According to the latest census information, 95 out of 100 Mexican children aged 6 to 14 go to school. Are your children among them? In Mexico, everyone counts. 2010 Housing and Population Census. INEGI. The migration law, passed by the Senate, establishes the basis of the new migratory politics of the Mexican states by guaranteeing human rights of migrants. We fortify the requirements of respect of the rights of our countrymen. Deputy Chamber, 61st Legislature. Agreements to put Mexico towards growth.
XEPRS, Rosarito, Baja California.
The General Law for the Inclusion of People with Disabilities, adopted by the Chamber of Deputies, monitors and protects the rights of people with disabilities.
It ensures the respectful compliance of the fundamental rights of people with disabilities.
It guarantees the right to employment, education, housing, and transportation, among others.
It recognizes the need for accessible public transportation services and housing for a fair Mexico without discrimination.
Chamber of Deputies, 61st Legislature.
One more blow to organized crime has been dealt with the capture of Jose De Jesus Mendez Vargas, a.k.a. The Monkey, leader and founder of the family. Now 21 of the 37 most wanted delinquents in all the criminal groups have been arrested or killed. With actions like these, the president keeps weakening organized crime, without exception, and working to provide a safe Mexico for you and your family. Federal government, this program is public, unrelated to any political party, and shall not be used for purposes other than stated in the program.
San Diego's sports leader, Double X 1090.
Del Mar Direct, Yuri Mandela and Toby Terrell taking you through Saturday morning, talking about horse racing in Southern California. Can't do that without mentioning what's going to go on here on Saturday at Del Mar. Of course, you've got the Grade 1 Eddie Reed to look forward to. Kara Cortado had a big work this morning, really looked good for Michael Machowski. He will likely be the favorite in that. But after the races are over, head across the street to the Hilton and join Horse Racing Insiders for a charity fundraiser benefiting retired racehorses. Poker in Paradise. Going to feature live music, silent auction. All that gets covered with just a $10 admission if that's what you want to do. Or if you feel like playing at a poker tournament, joining some TVG, HRTV guys, jocks, trainers, jocks, agents, racing executives, $200 to buy in. It goes kind of quick, so it kind of helps the amateurs and the guys that don't know as much. A lot of more luck involved than a Vegas-style poker tournament. And, of course, all the proceeds, again, go to benefiting retired racehorses. A great cause. Please join us all over at the Hilton for Poker in Paradise. Next week we will have Madeline Auerbach, who is the manager of Karma, the organization that runs the account that funds all these retired racehorses, and she'll talk in a lot more depth about that. She'll give us another update on Barry Abrams, as Toby gave us one to start the show off, and we'll talk about a lot of other things that are going on in California with her, as she's a TOC board member as well. Toby will bring you back in and get a little bit of an idea of what we're going to do here. We're waiting for Joe Harper to come along. Hopefully he'll be with us soon. And we also want to talk to Derek Lawson about his new rider. Toby, why don't you help us introduce him to all the Del Mar race fans?
Yeah, well, you know, we have a theme here. The tone been set by the marketing committee here, led by Craig Dado. This is a kind of an all-new meet at Del Mar. These are challenging times for everybody. We got to try a lot of new things, and we have a lot of new things going on here at Del Mar. And one of them, you know, since we all kind of want to have our $2 on a winner, one of them might be to follow a new jockey that's going to show up here in town for the first time. And his name is Eswan Flores. You don't need any help with the last name because David Flores almost has Hall of Fame status around here. But this kid, I'll tell you what, when you get a guy like Vladimir Serin, about as sharp and cagey a trainer as you're going to find. And when he comes out and makes quotes like, you have to watch this kid ride, and I take note. And, you know, I put Vlado's accent on that. You have to watch him ride. He talks like the Terminator, Vladimir Serin. And believe me, when the Terminator speaks, people listen. So I'm very interested to hear what Derek has to say about how he found this kid and what he expects him to do here at Del Mar with that big weight
less weight on the horses that this young apprentice gets to ride.
Yeah, 10-pound break in the weight, certainly an advantage in certain situations. Toby, let's remind everybody how to contact us before we bring Derek on. Our email address, delmardirect@gmail.com, if you want to send us something, or you can call in to 1090 itself. The listener line is 877-792-1090. And with that, let's bring on Derek Lawson, the agent for Eswine Flores. Derek, welcome.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning, Toby. How are you guys?
Give us the background story here. How did you and Eswine meet and decide that trying thoroughbreds instead of the quarter horses he was riding was a good idea?
Well, that was exactly it. He was riding quarter horse races over at Los Alamitos, and I got wind of him from an agent over there, David Noosh, who was a former jockey, and myself. We watched him ride the quarter horses. We decided to go and take a visit, spent some time on a Saturday night down at Los Alamitos, talked with a gentleman named Doug Christensen, who is Eswine's guardian and also helps him with his schooling. And one thing went to another. I asked him if he was interested in trying thoroughbred racing, and he said, "I've been waiting for somebody to come and get me and take me over there." So I was the individual that did that.
Well, Derek, I like everything I'm hearing from your young upstart, just that he is already on record, to me, saying all the right things. He's basically making it clear that this is what he wants to do, and he's willing to go to all costs to compete and win here on the toughest circuit in the nation here at Del Mar this summer. He's pretty much telling you, if you just read between the lines, that you're not going to let him go out and do too much golfing like most of our colleagues around here. I guess a little surfing, because that'll actually help him with his trade here of riding horses at Del Mar. But I love the focus that I'm seeing from this kid right out of the box.
Well, we've been here at Hollywood Park. Unfortunately, we're not down in Del Mar. We're here at Hollywood Park. And he worked 9 horses this morning starting at 5:30. And we have another full schedule tomorrow before we start coming down to Del Mar. We'll probably get down there about Tuesday unless somebody needs us Monday. But that's the whole that's the situation with Eswine. When I brought him over here, he had never really worked at a thoroughbred. So he spent 2.5 months coming over every morning, either Hollywood Park or Santa Anita, and to get his timing down. And I kept telling him, you just got to learn. You got to put that clock in your head. And just these trainers want you to go a certain distance and a certain time. You have to make sure that you hit that, and then you'll incorporate that in your races as well. One interesting statistic, after 15 starts, he's ridden 4 races on the grass. He's 100% in the money with a win, 2 seconds, and a third, and he never had ridden on the grass before. I was quoted as saying the only time he's been on the grass is when he was mowing his father's lawn, which got a chuckle from John White and a few other people. But that's the truth. He's 100% in the money right now. Riding on the grass.
And not only had he not been on the grass, I can't imagine he would have ridden a 2-turn race either. So a lot new for him. How did you approach that? Did you make him watch some video and show him what other riders do? Has there been any tutorial on your end?
There is a really good tutorial with Louis Hargy, who's one of the stewards. The apprentices meet every Thursday here because that's the beginning of the week here in Southern Cal, and at least at Hollywood Park. And they go over the films. I never rode a horse, so I can't really tell him how to ride a horse. But Louis and David Noosh now are watching their films. They're watching it with him. They're seeing what he's doing in a race. They're explaining certain things that he can do, that he shouldn't do. And the great thing about Eswine is that he really picks up really quick. He's a smart young man. He's trying to do 2 things. He's trying to become he's an apprentice rider here, but at the same time, he wants to finish his high school. So even during the summertime while he's riding, he's taking another English class that he's doing at home, and then when we get back in September, he'll go back to school and spend a little bit more time at his school in El Monte, Fernando Ledesma High School, and we expect him. Everybody around him expects him to be graduating in December from high school. So it's kind of a great story for racing. I think it's a real positive story for racing. And and to come down to Del Mar, I think he's going to enjoy a good meeting down there. And the people are going to enjoy meeting him. He's very friendly and very unassuming. says hello to everybody, shakes hands, and just for an 18-year-old, he's got a lot of poise.
Derek, speaking of young riders, and you know, we're not going to assume anything on this show. We're going to assume that we're trying to talk to everybody out there who wants to know anything about thoroughbred horse racing and who wants to know anything about how to get to Del Mar Racetrack, what to do when you get here. Everybody wants to bet on a winner. And, you know, when I was a kid, I don't think we've maybe exactly explained what an apprentice rider is. But for somebody who maybe we've lost already that doesn't know our racing lingo, as we know he's a new rider, he's an apprentice rider, but let's keep it real simple. Because what you've said now is if we really watch this kid and we get our $2 down at the right time, we're going to win. I want to let everybody out there who hasn't been to the racetrack that show up, get a program, and you'll find this rider by just looking for the asterisk and the star right next to his name. So sometimes, like I said, it's as easy as speed. It might be as easy as watching our young upstart rider here with the star and the asterisk next to his name in the program. And that's what I did as a kid. That's how I found all the apprentice riders, the great ones we've had here all through the years in Southern California. Joe Talamo, 21 years old. He is on a roll. This is a young Joe Talamo, now 21 years old. He's quoted in the story that you handed me of basically giving you and your rider some golden advice. Boy, nobody works harder these days than Joe Talamo. In fact, he was out here at Del Mar yesterday morning. He must have worked 15 or 20 horses that I saw him on. So, Derek, we wish you the best. Nobody works harder than you do, my friend. And I am pulling for this kid and you to really crack the circuit here at Del Mar.
Well, we're real excited. I think it's just going to be a golden opportunity for this young athlete to try and develop a career. And, you know, he's doing it really. He's starting at the toughest meeting, I believe. You know, this colony's outstanding. So, you know, and he's showing that he can handle himself. But he's got a long way to go. There's a ton of learning that he has to do. And he won't finish learning until he hangs up his boots and retires. So, but we're in good shape right now. And I really appreciate all the support that I've gotten from you, Toby, and from Gary and my friends who work around the racetrack and the people that are in our listening audience, and enjoy the ride, because I certainly am.
Derek, thanks for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. That's a great story for racing fans down in Del Mar to watch, see what this kid matures and what kind of meat he can have as we all look forward to Wednesday opening day here at Del Mar, obviously. And no better man to bring in at this point. Talk about opening day for the Del Mar meeting. Joe Harper sitting down at our table here outside the paddock. Here at the racetrack. Joe, everybody up in L.A. is really concerned about this whole Carmageddon thing. You do Carmageddon every year, the third week of July. Nobody can get in or out of
Del
Mar.
No, I can't get out of my driveway. What the heck? What's the deal, you know? No, it's a great, I mean, opening day, it's taken on a life of its own here in the last few years. Amazing. And it's usually one of our biggest, if not the biggest day. In fact, the biggest crowd we ever had in Del Mar history was last year opening day. And so far the sales have looked good, and got a lot of fun things going on, not just opening day, but all throughout the meet. Got a great concert lineup on Friday nights and a few on Saturday. We got reggae concert, you know, Ziggy Marley's coming back. We got Ben Harper on Labor Day weekend. We got some cool things happening here.
You always do. You never sit on your laurels. There's always something new to look forward to. The betting fans have some new wagers that they can look forward to down here that weren't here last year. Tell us about those.
Well, we've got the Pick 5. We didn't have that last year, and had a little lower takeout rate, and that should be fun, the first five races. We're seeding the Pick 6 carryover pool on Sunday, which would be Sundays, which would be good. Helps out a little bit there, and we've got the head-to-head bet, which could be kind of fun on Saturdays. I'm going to pick two horses, and all you got to do is decide which one beats the other one, right? That's easy, totally. I mean, what the hell? Yeah,
getting easier than that, Joe. You know, the only thing that's perhaps not easier are these economic times we're in, but I don't know. You don't have to answer this question, but how long have you been running this record-setting pace at Del Mar?
Well, Del Mar's like one of my children. In fact, when I came here, I don't think I had any, but now I've got some old grandchildren. But, I've been in management here since this you know, mid 70s, 77, I came down. Came down to 67 as a photographer and worked the meets even in those days. So, yeah, it's I love coming to work here. I've never in all those 35 years, whatever it is, not wanted to come to work here because it's a great track and it's a great crew. I mean, we've got so many good people working for us that makes my job really easy.
Well, you had one of the best in the business. Sorry, Toby. Craig Fravel working here for a long time. He has now moved on to take a different job for the Breeders' Cup. Let me give you a chance to talk about the people that have worked for you for a long time. They're going to step up and take his place.
Yeah, losing Craig was tough for us. I mean, he was the guy that was the smartest guy I knew in racing. Mm-hmm. Might be anywhere. And he just had a way of making things come about. If it was a problem, Craig could handle it pretty smoothly. But what a great opportunity for Craig. And, I mean, we really couldn't be happier for him. And I made a little bit of a U-turn on that road to retirement, but which is fine. My wife said I shouldn't be hanging around the house anyway, so it's fine with me. But, you know, between our, you know, all these great vice presidents we got, Tommy Robbins and in the racing office and Josh in development and Craig Dado in marketing and Mike Ernst, who is our chief financial officer. We all just kind of, made our circle of responsibilities a little wider and so far it's been working really smoothly. So got a great crew and they're going to be doing just fine.
Now it's working more than smoothly, Joe. In fact, I've got the numbers right in front of me. When you get a sporting venue, entertainment venue to go up, like Del Mar has gone up through the last several years to the tune of 25%. I'll tell you what you do, Joe. You make the right decisions very quietly. Everything you just outlined, you don't really get it blasted anywhere. It's just that you make all the right decisions so quietly, and you're making the right moves, and the numbers speak for themselves. And we are going to will the Del Mar magic yet another summer here for 37 days, and it's going to happen. I can tell you, I've watched several horses over the racetrack in the last couple of days working, and I got one of the biggest thumbs up I could get yesterday morning after training. Longtime veteran trainer Mike Mitchell worked 23 horses here yesterday, so I figured I better call Mike. What do you think, Mike? The horses were humming over the track. So big thumbs up so far. We don't rest at all, and another very quiet decision that was made, and I said this on a radio show from Las Vegas earlier this morning, because I believe it, you hired the best track man there is in the world in Richard Tedesco. I know that from watching him work tirelessly all through the night, if he has to ensure the best surface that you're going to get at any racetrack in the world. And, Joe, somehow you found him and hired him.
Well, that's a good thing about Del Mar is, when you want somebody to come to work for you, you look at, send them a picture of the ocean and a few of whatever's walking around here on opening day. It's amazing how quickly they show up, But, I agree with you on Rich. He is a super guy, and when the pressure's on, he just he comes to the party and just gets the job done. We're always going to school on poly track. You don't put it in there and forget about it. It requires a lot of maintenance and different kind of maintenance and dirt. And I think Rich has got a pretty good hold of what needs to be done, and so far so good.
As a trainer, I second Toby's thoughts about Richard Tedesco. Great guy. I want to ask you last question. I want to give you a chance to touch on what I thought was the most interesting nuance to the new Del Mar meeting for 2011, the match race of the X's. Now, we're not going to have one of those fighting finishes like the Derby from 50 years ago where these guys are hitting each other with the sticks, are we, Joe?
Yeah, it might look like the Seabiscuit Ligure race coming down there. I think, it was such a natural. Mike is an incredible rider, obviously, fame guy and
Mike Smith and Chantal Sutherland, for those who don't know, going to be pitted in this.
And Chantal is riding so well, and she's mm-hmm. And when they broke up and kind of got started getting mad at each other, what better spot for us to jump in?
Are whips going to be allowed?
Yeah, I think by the time this match race comes along, they'll probably hate each other even more. But
I got a personal question for you. Are you busy on Tuesday night?
I'm usually hiding somewhere.
Okay, well,
you got something going?
If you're not hiding, I have one of the hottest things in town. It's so hot that, you know, we said at the start of the show, this show is about the best of the best. We've got the best restaurant in Del Mar, one of them, and maybe the best, the Pamplemousse, which is right across the street here from the racetrack. But there's a new restaurant in town a couple of exits down called Burlap that I've been told celebrity chef Brian Malarkey is ready. In fact, Bill is so worried he's actually going to join me maybe Tuesday night for this opening, and I'm going to try to twist your arm, Joe, by putting this in front of you, and I want to know how you can resist this invitation.
You know, this is the word's out on Burlap, and I mean, I've been hearing a lot about it lately, and looking at this menu right here, I mean, sweet potato fries right there, you got me. And so I'm looking forward to going there.
Healthy, too. Joe,
are you buying, by the way?
Of course, I would. Okay, yeah. I would do anything it takes to get you there. That's my mission.
Joe, thanks a lot for joining us. Good luck with opening day, and hope we have a good, safe meeting and a lot of people come and really enjoy themselves.
Well, thanks for having me on, and good luck to you too, pal.
Okay, thanks a lot. In just a second, we're going to bring Billy Koch on for his Ownership 101 segment. Just quickly want to get in a quick word about one of our sponsors here while we do that. Legacy Ranch, a full-service farm with a 5/8-mile training track and the home of Papa Clem. Now, Papa Clem was bred to 102 mares this year. 93 of them got in foal. It's a pretty big percentage. He is the morning line favorite to be the next great California sire, maybe taking that crown off of the head of Unusual Heat. So book your season early, because I got shut out this year trying to jump in there late. Contact either Gail Van Leer or contact Legacy Ranch directly, and they will tell you everything that's going on with their farm. Now, we'll switch gears. Bring in Billy. Are you there to tell us a little bit about what's going on with Little Red Feather?
I am. How you guys doing?
Great, Billy. Thanks for joining us. And
how's the weather down there? How's the weather? That's the most important thing. Last year was a little overcast.
It's a little overcast. It's perfect for trainers. It's cool and overcast till about 10:30, so we get the horses in, cooled out, then the sun comes out, and you go to the beach the rest of the day. So right now we've got it just perfect.
That's perfect. Perfect. Well, I'm excited. I can't wait for Wednesday. I can't wait for this meet. I think the Hollywood Park meet's gonna have a lot of momentum for everybody. As you can see, they did a retro purse payment. I think it came out this morning, which is exciting for owners. And I'm excited to be on the show.
The other thing that's exciting for owners is the opportunity to get in with a syndicate, the kind that you run with Little Red Feather, because it offers them an opportunity to have a piece of the action, a piece of the fun, at a lot less risk financially by just being a partner with a big group of people. Why don't you explain that concept a little bit?
You know, we started a while back, actually. There's a bunch of syndicates out there that do a really great job, and I hope to think that Little Red Feather is one of them. We had 13 wins at the recently concluded Hollywood Park meet, which is a record for us. And it's exactly what you said. It's a way for people to get in at a fraction of the cost. It's no different than fractional ownership of jets or anything that you own a piece of. But what we try to do is make you feel like you own 100%. We take care of you. There's a ton of benefits. You know, we get you track tickets. You come down to the paddock. You come down to the winner's circle, hopefully, when we win. And you go out and watch Morning Works. And we do a lot of communication with our partners, emails all the time. And, we've been very, very fortunate. We have some great trainers. Both Mike Mitchell and Mike Pipey had unbelievable meets at Hollywood Park. And we hope to continue it down at Del Mar.
Billy, Toby Terrell here. Great to have you on the show and on board. You know, our theme is this is the show where you're going to know. And our mission here is to just bring the best of Del Mar. Del Mar's the best, so we can't lose. Anybody who comes to Del Mar Racetrack for entertainment reasons, wagering reasons, spectator reasons, sights and smells of opening day reasons, Wednesday, hats, you name it. But one thing you've got, Billy, that you can actually rest your hat on and launch Little Red Feather is the fact that nobody can take away from you what happened in 2004. All you did was go straight to the top, winning a Breeders' Cup Championship race with a horse named Singletary. And you're going to have a tough time to top that, Billy, but you certainly have the grounds here to invite people in and go to the top.
Absolutely. We're just trying, Toby. I mean, it's always fun, and I love bringing up Singletary. That was a long time ago now. I just hope our statute of limitations don't run out on that. People have told me I can talk about that forever, so I will. That was a great time, you can't beat days like that, and I hope to continue them. I hope we have more, and I hope on this segment what we're going to try to do is I want people out there who have questions about ownership, not just fractional ownership, not just Little Red Feather, but anything about owning a horse, please send in your emails to billy@littleredfeather.com. And every week I'm going to come on and we're going to talk with Toby and Gary, and we're going to hopefully read one of the questions. And if your question's read, we'll give you the Little Red Feather box on a weekday at Del Mar. And I think that'd be a good experience for someone, and hopefully we'll get some answers out there. And get the whole goal of this is to get more owners. That's what I want to do. I'm sure that's what you guys want to do. I'm sure that's what Del Mar wants to do. The more people in the game, better the game is.
No, absolutely. And the box that you guys have is not the kind of box you can get if you just walk up to clubhouse admission and pay your way in on a weekday. That's a really nice prize to be giving away. Billy, we look forward to bringing you on each and every week to discuss those things. We'll get some other topics out of you down the line as well. But thanks for helping us pump up opening day here at Del Mar, and we'll be talking to you every Saturday.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to a great summer.
No, thank you, Billy. We're going to get to Don Harris next before we close out the show, Toby, and let you and him dissect New York racing a little bit. But before we do, just want to get a quick mention in about the Pamplemousse, one of our sponsors here at Del Mar Direct. No finer dining experience in Del Mar the last few years than the Pamplemousse itself, located just across from the Solano Gate, basically, on Via de la Valle. Great place to go after the races, with some really good stuff. And you know, if you have a bad day at the track, things don't kind of go your way, you don't have that cowboy steak money in your pocket, go on Sunday, spaghetti and meatballs night, just like Bill's mom makes. The best value on the menu. It's my favorite thing to do there. Check out the Pamplemousse when you get a chance.
Yeah, that very well said. In fact, I think I'll join you there tomorrow at the Pamplemousse.
Like Joe says, as long as you're buying. With that, we will talk to Don Harris now, bring him in, your longtime cohort. And Don's got his finger on the pulse of everything that's going on in New York. Don, are you there for us?
What's up, boys?
Good to hear from you. Why don't we jump right into this? They've got a pretty interesting card at Belmont today, a guaranteed money pick four like they usually have, surrounding the feature, the Jaipur Stakes. What did you make of the feature?
You know what? There's a really exciting horse, and it's always an interesting prospect when you get one of these inexperienced, this number six horse Gantry that just broke his maiden in the end of 2010. He did it well, and they put him on the bench for a little while. And he came back in late June 23rd, and absolutely was shot out of a cannon. You rarely see a 106-4 going six furlongs on the grass. And the beauty of the win, the visual of it, was the horse that was in front, Higher Court, a speed horse who went off at like 3-5 in the race, he was not slowing down. And this horse not only ran him down in the stretch, but he put another three lengths on him. Now, the big idea here is you won an optional allowance race, and now you're going against graded company. And, Gary, I could ask you as a trainer, I mean, what kind of stats do you think are out there with a horse running his best career race against much softer, and then the connections throw him in against some real runners? It's going to show you what kind of quality he has, whether you get that scary bounce or whether he can show the class that he might have and become a really nice runner.
Yeah, well, let me explain to you what you're talking about with the bounce. This horse Gantry that you're talking about, he had not run since November the 8th of 2010 when he showed up on June the 23rd and did exactly what you're talking about, winning by three and running 106-4, a massive effort. But not only was that off of a long layoff, he's now coming back in just 3 weeks' rest. Are you not worried about that? Do you think there's so much quality there that we can single him in that pick four, or do we need to spread a little bit?
Oh, there's no question it's a concern. I just get excited off visuals when you're watching a race and you see it maybe, I don't know, 10 times a year. There's a handful of times where you're on the edge of your seat. It's a little bit chilly because you just don't see a move like this. And so I have to use him. But like you say, the type of race he ran, it does set up for a possible bounce. The other horse I would use is Yield Bogey, who ran a really good second in the poker, grade three, against Courageous Cat, who, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but Courageous Cat was the horse that ran a huge second in the Breeders' Cup in 2010 behind the Freak Golden Cova. Mm-hmm. So I would use those two, Gantry and Yield Bogey. I'm just really interested, not from a gambling perspective, just as a horse fan, to see if Gantry can repeat his effort.
All right, Donald, enough about New York. I've got more friends at Hollywood Park where you are than I have in New York right now, so I'm a fair-weathered guy, and we got to pay some bills locally here where it counts, and that's with the winner's card, the best $3 you'll spend at any Southern California racetrack that we publish. Today's fifth race at Hollywood Park, maybe we can give a little hint out to make a little money in the fifth at Hollywood today.
Yeah, here's the hint. I think Mike Harrington has his best two-year-old entered. I'm never a huge fan of drawing the rail in a sprint race, but I'm thinking maybe this horse's quality is just going to overcome, and he's going to get the job done. He stood out in his morning drills from day one. He's always been superior to everything Harrington's thrown in company with him, and he just acts like a really nice horse. So I'm expecting a big effort from the number one Creative Cause with Bay Hirano on board.
Well, Donald Harris is right there watching him trackside at Hollywood Park, validating the talent, hopefully, of this young horse. That doesn't guarantee a win, but one thing I know from Donald Harris watching him there, this horse can run, and we'll just hope that rail and all, he can get it done in the fifth race. Well, guys, it's going to pretty much put a wrap on our kickoff show for Del Mar. And the main thing is, everybody out there listening, show up here to Del Mar opening day Wednesday, because there's no finer place on earth. The best people in the world will validate that for you. Whatever you want, it'll be here for you opening day at Del Mar on Wednesday, July 20th. Thanks for being with us, everybody. For Gary Mandela, I'm Toby Terrell. Adios.